us now, the assistant coach of the Toronto Raptors, and they're playing exceptionally well right now. 28-23, 5 games over .500, and
for the first time since 2007.
Yes, remember what happened that year? They had a very nice season. Put the old banner up in the Air Canada Center. So, man, it was part of the organization then, and a part of the organization now. Assistant coach Micah Norai. Micah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. And first of all, when you look at your team, I want to focus on one guy to start. You know, everyone got Bosch. Yeah, he's great. Brognani, congratulate. They're all, you know, they're terrific. Antoine Wright of late is getting it done. I mean, yesterday I'm at the arena. I don't know, was it 9:30, 9:45? Who's out there working on his game? First guy out there, Antoine Wright. Everywhere I am, I see him working on his game, and he's producing. Any correlation?
No question, Jack. And I think, like you say, you see him at the arena. But if you would have been at practice this morning, and any other day for that matter, first person there in the morning working out with Eric Hughes is Antoine Wright, getting his jumper up. A lot of guys get their work in, but he, like you say, he's always there early. And it's funny, we were thinking about it the other day. I mean, and just talking about the games that we've won and these close games, and let alone the defense. A great job he's done at the defensive end on point guards and stuff like that. But have you seen a guy make bigger shots down the stretch, just daggers? Dagger three-pointers that he's hit last night, you know, the one he gets from Bosch in the corner, and just and the other one the other night where he turned to the crowd a little bit. But you got to be happy for a guy that works on his game, gets a chance, produces. His minutes have been somewhat blotchy earlier in the year, and he just he's a true professional, and every time he's called upon, he gives us everything he has.
You know, Mike, I'm glad you mentioned that it's at both ends of the floor, because, you know, for everybody that talks about, well, Antoine Wright was coming in here to be that defensive stopper, that defensive guy, his offense has been huge for a number of weeks now, and this is the guy, I would assume, this is the guy that Brian Colangelo thought he was acquiring during the offseason, who struggled over the first couple of months, but who's been lights out now for at least a good 4 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, no question. And I think you think, you look at it too, especially going down these last 30 games. And I know, you know, you take them one at a time, but even heading into these playoffs and everybody wants to be clicking on all cylinders, you're talking about a guy that, was a starter and took on the greatest defensive challenge on the perimeter for the Dallas Mavericks last year for the, you know, the better part of their season and into the playoffs. So you're absolutely right. I think this is the guy that, that we all expected to get in this in the trade. And then the other thing is too, and it's a tribute to him, you know, he's just stuck to it. He really has, and he has. It's always been about team, and every time he's been called on, he's tried to do his best. And you know, it's just funny how things work out like that when guys get opportunities and take control of it, and he's done that.
Michael, when you look at the Toronto Raptors, and particularly in the fourth quarter, your team seems to get stronger in that quarter. Your team seems to be more locked in defensively. Are you seeing that same thing?
No question.
Why, though? What's happening?
You know what? I think it could be a little bit of, I think you look at two things. I think number one, just, I think anytime you have success in whatever you're doing, you get that confidence. And if you get down, you just, it's almost just a belief that, hey, you know what? Deficit is too large or whatever to overcome, and then once we have a lead, just trying to sustain that lead. But I think, and it's funny with our team, because we are so good offensively, and you do have so many guys that can score and do things at that end, our defense kind of breeds off of that. You know what I'm saying? Where all of a sudden you get a couple scores and the energy, and then that carries over the defensive end. And I also think that, you know, Jay and Mark Iveroni, and, you know, I like to thank myself a little bit, and Alex English as well, just from all the prep and game things like that, we always have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. And it's kind of funny. I think Larry Brown was the one that said it, that, hey, you're not trying to get the 4-2 stop. You want that stop when it's 94-92. So, you know, you don't want to put out your, we have our solid, you know, defensive plan that we stay with in our principles, but then we also have something, hey, you know what, late in the game, let's go to this, let's trap this guy, make someone else beat us, because you know a guy like a Dwayne Wade and, you know, yesterday a Tyreek Evans, that's the guy they want to go to, so let's get the ball out of their hands, let's make somebody else beat us.
Micah, you just mentioned your fellow assistants and your head coach. For all the talk of the players on the floor, what about you as a staff and you even as an individual coach? How much better are you now versus the beginning of the season as an assistant? And how much better is the staff overall now versus the beginning of the season?
I like to think anytime, you know, as much as time is we spent not only by ourselves, but together as well. You know, Mark Iverone, we've worked with Alex, and again, I'm Brandon this year. Alex has been a longtime assistant coach with us now, Jay even longer. And, you know, we finally, I think we're all in a groove as well. We know how to work with each other. We know what to expect. And it's just like any type of, you know, you're spending numerous hours with guys, you know what they're expecting, what you're expecting out of them. And and I think it's just that whole thing, just like the players, they were meshing together, as were we as a staff. Everybody knows their roles. Everybody knows what everybody's strengths and weaknesses are and how to help each other. And just like that, you know, it's all just trying to help each other. But I think we're much better. I think not only knowing ourselves, but also getting to know, like, Hedo and Red, you know, hopefully Reggie when he comes back, but Amir and all the new guys we have, even Antoine and Sonny, and just trying to mesh them and them getting to know us and we getting to know them and what they like to do. And I think we're much better as a staff and everything. And I think that Jay has done a great job, and he's continued to, you know, I think good coaches and good teams, they win close games, and we've been able to do that. Those 5-point or less games, I think that's really where you can kind of make a difference. And knock on wood, we've had some success in those close games.
Hedo Turkoglu yesterday, obviously, you know, has been out for a little bit of time, making the adjustment with the mask and all that. He looked like he had a little bit of bounce in his step, kind of like he did against the Knicks. It looked like he's starting to finally get to the point where he's assertive, aggressive, and he's got his legs under him.
Yeah, I think no question. I think that you don't want to say pacing, but it's just, I mean, you know, he's a vet. He's a guy that went to the finals last year, played in the world championships, you know, overseas this past summer. And just, I think that he's not pacing himself, but he knows that this is the most important time of the year. I think that early on, he might even, you know, you say like really exerting himself too. I think even early on, he was even just trying to endear himself to his teammates, maybe pass this up, do that. But he's really done a great job of just really turning it up a notch, so to speak, and heading down the stretch. I think that, again, if we can stay healthy, we're getting things clicking on all cylinders, and hopefully we can continue on this roll that we're on.
Mike, I'm going to ask you a question that we were asked earlier by one of our listeners. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the All-Star break helps or hurts your team?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. It's funny because, in all honesty, I was talking about that. Matter of fact, with my wife, I said you couldn't really come at a worse time. It's because now you got this role, and you're just used to, you know, practice, game prep, play, practice, play. And then, you know, when you're winning games and as we are on this little role and playing well, you don't want anything to break up that rhythm. Now, I do think that it never hurts, you know, to heal up some injuries or some you guys that are bothered by some little tweaks here and there, but I think that the good thing about this break is that we ended against Philly at home, and we started at home against Memphis, and we've been pretty good at home. But I'm with you. If we could skip this All-Star break, I'd be all for it, to be honest.
Hey, Mike.
I'm not going to lie.
Eric and I were chatting about this earlier. You were 2-0 pre-post-Christmas, and, you know, coaches always look at those four games during the year. And now mm-hmm. you're coming up on that again now, the game right before All-Star, the game right after All-Star. Is this something that you talk to your team about with regard to the focus? Because you've been around it a long time. Those games require maturity and professionalism, and you really got to lock in because your mind could be somewhere else, particularly on those days.
Yeah, there's no question. It's funny you mention that because even Jay was speaking that again about that in our meetings today, you know, about talking about the team with that as he did against Christmas. And I think the way you kind of look at it is these 82 games, it doesn't matter when you get those W's and how many times you think you're coming down the stretch at the end of the season. You say, hey, we need to win one or win two more games here or there. And if you let one slip away, like you say, coming in and out of these breaks when teams might not have that focused or half of them might already be on a plane ride to wherever they're going for the next 3 or 4 days. But you're absolutely right, and we've been fortunate to get Detroit, like you said, pre and post Christmas, get two wins there. And if we could get you know, tomorrow night and coming back against Memphis, I think that, like you say, that kind of puts a stamp on it that, hey, this team is a focused team, it is a veteran team, and you know what, they're really concentrating on what they're trying to do. But you're absolutely right, because the last thing you want to do is be need a game or two for a tiebreaker, games 81 and 82, and just say, hey, we let one get away before or after a break, you know.
Michael, we got to run. Thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, for sure. And we'll see you over there Wednesday night.
Wednesday
Thanks,
night.
Thanks, Micah.